Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Indeed, it is amazing. Amazing, Lord, that you would pursue even sinners like us. And Lord, that you would pursue us relentlessly with your grace, with your mercy, all compelled by your love. And so, Lord, this morning as we stand in your grace, we pray that you would continue to do that work of transformation in us, that we might become more like Jesus as we turn to your word. Lord, through your Spirit who is here and by your word which is true, we pray that you would make us more like Jesus today. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. As we journey through these stories that shape us, we are going to come to one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. And the crux of this passage is this one little line that is the title of our message today, and that is this: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Those words uttered by Almighty God to Joshua so many years ago, and they still speak to us. Because the truth is that just as Joshua was living in difficult days, so also are we living in difficult days. We're still navigating a worldwide pandemic that is causing true pain and suffering, not only near, but all around the world. And we continue to pray for those who are affected by it and those who are on the front lines of fighting it and those who are laying their lives on the line to help others. We continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan who are facing assassination, true persecution, simply because they identify themselves with Jesus Christ and say, I am a Christian, I trust and follow Jesus. Their lives are on the line. And even here at home, we deal with what philosophers call a post-Christian culture, where the things of God are ridiculed, mocked, laughed at, or ignored altogether. We are living in difficult days. And in the context of difficult days, it's always helpful to have a little perspective. And the perspective that God gives us through his word is that if we go all the way back to Genesis 3, beginning in Genesis 3, people have faced difficult days. When our first grandparents fell, difficulty entered. Sin, death, shame, destruction, all of those things entered the picture at that point in time, and throughout the course of human history, people have dealt with difficult days, including God's people. And that's the interesting thing about God. He doesn't just remove his people from the struggle. He meets us in the midst of the struggle. He meets us where we are, and he transforms us to prepare us for the place to which he's taking us. See, God has a plan for you. And his plan for you is motivated by his love for you. His love for you so great that he would send his only begotten son to come and die on the cross for you. In your place, condemned he stood. Hallelujah. What a savior. And in my place, condemned he stood. Hallelujah. What a savior. So we have a God who meets us in our moment and reminds us that he transcends our moment and is taking us to what will be. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't even wrap your mind around the glory of what will be revealed in you. The Apostle Paul said that it's a glory that far surpasses any sin or any suffering we've ever had to endure. There is a glory to be revealed in us all because of Jesus and by the very hand of Jesus. But not only does God remind us that there's something great coming, he reminds us that we can make it through these days. We can navigate this moment. And so you may be wondering, how? How? Where is God when everything seems to be going crazy? What was God up to in the days of old? And what is God up to now when the world is full of such difficult things? Where is he in all of this? Well, if you have a relationship with Jesus, the answer to that question is remarkably simple. He's with you. He's with you. And so our theme for the message today is this: God is with us. and that's enough. When my kids were younger, both of them, following the pattern of their father, had the same fear of the dark. I don't know if y'all have ever been scared of the dark. Sometimes when I'm walking around First Baptist Church at night by myself in this big darkened place, I walk a little quicker than when I might be here in the middle of the day. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. My kids would not go into a dark room for love nor money. I could tell them there was a cake in there waiting for them with a fork, not a knife, a fork. They could have the whole thing, but it's in the middle of that dark room. They weren't going. But you know, there was a way that they would go into any space, anytime, anywhere, if I was with them or if Mama was with them. They would walk in there, not only going in there to do whatever we'd ask them to do, they would walk in there with boldness. They would walk in there with their chest puffed out because why? Well, Daddy's here, Mama's here, nothing can get me now. Can I tell you, as we navigate this present darkness, if you trust and follow Jesus, here's what you can know. God is with you. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 and we'll kind of walk our way through it. First, looking at verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Our first point today is this: life gets hard. Life gets hard. I don't know if you've lived long enough to find that yet. But the truth is, the longer you live, the more you learn that life gets hard, and it's universal. There is no such thing as the easy life that Hollywood presents. Not even the actors who present it live the easy life. Even the people who have more money than they know what to do with, more fame than they can handle, they don't even live the easy life. There's no such thing. This perfect life in which nothing is ever hard. Now, are there those who have it harder and those who have it easier? Absolutely. But life gets hard for everybody. Joshua is getting ready to be spoken to by God because, number one, Joshua's mentor has died. For 40 years, Joshua has served Moses. For 40 years, Joshua has walked alongside Moses, making sure that he had everything he needed. For 40 years, Joshua has seen an inside perspective of the people of Israel. And if you've ever read the Pentateuch, like we're reading through it right now, you know that the people of Israel weren't always the easiest people to lead. God delivers them out of slavery. And within minutes, they're complaining about the accoutrement of the new setting into which they've been brought. Well, we were slaves, but at least we had meat. We were slaves, but at least we had food. And we were slaves, but at least we had water. I wish God had just left us in there. Moses, why did you bring us out here? Well, guess what? Joshua had been on the inside track to see all of that up close and personal. And now, not only was Joshua's dear friend and mentor gone, the mantle fell to Joshua. And that was not going to be easy. That was not going to be easy at all. Life gets hard for all of us. And I want to give you an inside track on what one of the enemy's greatest tactics is. He likes to divide, isolate, and conquer. So if you're ever hearing in your mind, well, nobody has it as bad as you. Nobody's dealt with this before. If God loved you, then you wouldn't be going through this. God takes care of His people. When you go to that church on Sunday morning, nobody struggles like you do. And you might not be nodding right now, but if you're like me, you've heard every one of those in your mind at some point. Can I tell you, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. He wants you to live in an Instagram world. What in the world do I mean by that? Instagram world is a world that is polished, filtered, and looks better than it really is. So when you look around your church on Sunday morning, you say, well, these people don't have any trouble at all. Guess what? I'm the pastor. These people have trouble. I'm the pastor. These people have trouble. We have challenges and struggles and difficulties and hard moments. Life gets hard for everybody. And in those moments, one of the things that God does is he calls us to seek him. Seek him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and all your soul. Jeremiah 29, 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So if you're going through difficulty now, whether that is worldwide difficulty or difficulty that is just for you, look to the Lord. Seek him. He said that you'll find him if you seek him with all your heart. Now listen, don't come looking for him the way that I approached dieting for so many years. How many of you have ever gone on a diet like this? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to get fries with my Big Mac today. I'm not going to get fries, and I'm going to be good, and I'm going to get me a Diet Coke with my Big Mac, and it'll all work out because the calories will, and then the next day I eat an entire pie. You know, I made the decision to behave for a second, but it wasn't an earnest decision. It was a half-hearted decision. And I told you, in my weight loss journey, I've lost a person, all right? In my weight loss journey, it came down to consuming less and moving more, and it's crazy. Every physician I've ever talked to was right. I didn't like their answer. But we come to God the same way. We don't come to him half-heartedly. Oh, Lord, I sure could use some help right now. Oh, come earnestly and let him meet you where you are. He'll be there. You'll be able to find him as you seek him with all your heart. Well, now look with me at verses 3 through the first part of verse 5. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Our second point, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. I want to remind you of the timeline of what has happened, because this promise that he just reiterated to Joshua didn't begin with Joshua. This promise that he just reiterated to Joshua began with Abraham. And let me put some dates on this so that you can see some of this. Abraham was born in 2166 BC. Remember, BC moves towards zero, so we're going backwards. Abraham received the promise of God from Genesis chapter 12 in 2091 BC when he was 75 years of age. 25 years later, Isaac was born in 2066. Abraham was 100. After Isaac was born in 2006, Isaac fathers Jacob and Esau with Rebekah. And then in 1922, Jacob marries Leah and Rachel and has the tribes. And Joseph is born and sold into slavery, and Joseph is sent to Egypt. And in 1876, Jacob and all the people of God migrated to Egypt to get away from the famine and to be cared for by Joseph and the Pharaoh who loved them. And then you know what happened. There were four centuries of captivity as they were sojourners in a land not their own. In 1527, a little boy named Moses was born. 40 years later, he fled as a fugitive to Midian. 40 years after that, he saw a bush on the side of a mountain that was burning but not consumed. And when he got close to it, the voice of God said, "Take off your sandals, Moses, for the ground upon which you tread is holy ground." And in 1446, God led Moses into Egypt. And by mighty hand and outstretched arm, God brought his people out of Egypt. You know that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. And so in 1406, that's where we are with Joshua right now. 2166, Abraham was born. 2091, he received the promise. 1406, Joshua is getting ready to lead God's people into the promised land. If my math is accurate, that's 685 years. And in those 685 years, God neither forgot nor forsook his promise. He was bringing it to fruition. And God was going to bless the world. What he said to Abraham in Genesis 12, that all the world would be blessed through him, would come to pass as Jesus was born from the seed of Abraham. And Jesus opened the way to God to all people. God keeps his promises. Well, now let's look at the second half of verse 5 and verse 6. God says, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Our third point, God promises his presence. God promises his presence. If you journey through that 685-year journey from Abraham to Joshua, you're going to see something amazing. You're going to see God promise his presence to his people through it all. He made that promise to Abraham. He made the same promise to Isaac. In Genesis 26, verse 3, God said, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. So not only was God's promise to Abraham, but it was to his son Isaac. And then God made the promise to Jacob in Genesis 28, 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. God made the promise again to Joseph. How did Joseph succeed under such difficult circumstances that continued to arise? Well, in Genesis 39, verse 2, and then again in verse 21, we hear the Lord was with Joseph. Moses, when he was questioning a God, do you remember when God was telling him, you're going to go into the land of Egypt, you're going to be the instrument in my hands to bring my people out? Moses didn't just say, okay, Lord, I'm going. What did he do? He argued with the Lord. Incidentally, you will lose every time. I've learned that the hard way. You can try. I still do sometimes. When we argue with God, we lose every single time. But what did God promise Moses? I will be with you. As God was giving Moses the instructions for the tabernacle, God was telling his people, I will be with you. And then God was with his people. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, said to Israel, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Even as Joshua was getting the news that he was going to replace Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, the Lord commissioned Joshua and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. 685 years, a lot of big characters you might have learned about in Sunday school. What does God say to every single one of them? I'll be with you. 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 What do we call Jesus at Christmas time? Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Word became flesh to dwell among us. We beheld his glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Even before his cross, Jesus promised that God would be with him. He would send the Holy Spirit. So we would have the Holy Spirit with us always, even now. In the Great Commission, Jesus ended the Gospel of Matthew by saying, and surely I am with you when? Always, even to the end of the age. When Paul was in Corinth, I've been there. I've stood in the place where Paul's back was stripped and he was prepared to be beaten as he stood before the bema, the judgment seat, looking up at the temple of Aphrodite and there with his back open to the market behind him. I've put my hands on the very pillar where Paul's hands were lashed as he was about to be beaten for his faith. And you know what God told him in Corinth? I've got many people here. You stay there. I'll be with you. God didn't give his people a great battle plan as they were getting ready to go into the land that he had promised to them. You know what he told them? I'll be with you. Do you know what he's telling you right now in Jesus Christ? I'm with you. You're not alone. No matter how alone you feel, how many of y'all found our feelings can lie to us? God is telling you, I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am with you wherever you go. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Our fourth point, God provides His word. God provides His word. Again, God was getting ready to lead His people through what is called in Israel's history the conquest. They are going into the promised land, but there are already people dwelling there. All the ites that you hear about so often in this section of your Bible, they're still there. And God is going to lead them to conquer all the ites, all of these people. But God doesn't give them a great battle plan. He doesn't give them a great training program. What does He say to them? You have my presence and you have my word. Don't turn from my word. See, God was calling His people to be a peculiar people, a particular people. They didn't need a perfect battle plan because they had a perfect God. And they were to be a holy people set apart to God for His purposes. And the way that you knew that they were set apart to God for His purposes was by the way that they lived their lives. They lived different from all the pagans that surrounded them. And do you know, for you and me, as we trust and follow Jesus, Jesus Himself said that they will know that we are His people by our what? By our fish bumper stickers, by our keychains that said Christians aren't perfect but just forgiven, by our Facebook posts, our Instagram posts, the way we handle our Snapchat that Mike Lemon says is the devil, so I would stay off of it. Is it by the fact that you're here or tuned in on Sunday morning? How do they know that we're Christians? Well, Jesus said it would be by our love. Ricky, we sing it. They'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. We are a peculiar people. We are set apart to God for His purposes. We don't act and react like the rest of the world because God has called us to be holy. Do you know what holy means? Set apart. Set apart to God for His purposes. Different. Because we have a God who is with us, and we have His word that He uses to guide us, that we would be different. So we don't need a perfect handbook to tell us how to navigate all the difficulties that we're facing. We have a perfect God who's with us, and we have His word to instruct us, to lead us, and to guide us. And so now we come to what I hope will become a memory verse for you, verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Miss Vicky knows it and has taught it to more kids than she can remember. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our fifth point is the same as our theme for the day. God is with us, and that's enough. God is with us, and that's enough. At the bottom of your notes, I shared a part of something that Joshua said to Israel at the end, more near the end of the book than we are in Joshua chapter 1. The conquest has happened. And listen to this. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to Israel had failed. Every single one of them came to pass. And I want you to hear something. And I want me to hear this too. Because if you're like me, sometimes you forget this. If you're in Jesus Christ, there will come a moment in glory when you will look back over the landscape of your life. And do you know what you'll see? you'll see that not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to you had failed, but that all had come to pass. And if that's going to be the reality that we have one day, what would happen if we lived like that were going to be true for us today? What would happen if we lived like we knew that our God had given us His Word to guide us, to be a lamp for our feet and a light for our paths? What if we lived like my kids walking into a dark room, but with me, chest out, unafraid? Why? Because Daddy's with me. As you trust and follow Jesus, I got to tell you, He's with you, and He's not going anywhere.